Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today.
Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're with us today. Hey, thank you for tuning in to Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Bob, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. And how are we doing that? We are giving you biblical strategy and motivation so that you can get out there and do some things for your King. King Jesus, that is. Hallelujah. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited about today's program. We've got a great episode planned for you. Actually, this episode came up. I didn't know we were doing this. And then when I was informed, I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll be ready. And I went to my co-host, Pastor Christina, and I said, what are we talking about today?
Submission.
So I am submitting to Pastor Christina and talking about submission. Hallelujah. So I hope you stay with us today, and we pray that you get something out of it. What do we want you to get out of it? Submission. Learning how to submit. Hallelujah. Well, Christina, are we ready to go?
Yes, sir.
We're ready to go.
Yes.
Well, as after she told me this, I sat there and I did a little bit of studying, and I'm going, wow, this is like opening up an umbrella. You know, I mean, I sat there and the word submission, you know, it's a long word, I guess, and compared to some other words, but I saw as I started studying, it was like opening up an umbrella, and there's a lot of facets to it. There's a lot of area to it. A lot of different ways you can approach it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I have no idea which direction she has been led to do this. But, you know, she's my pastor also. She is also my pastor. And I submit myself to her. And I teased her last night while we were here for Bible study. And I says, well, you know, I'm going to push the buttons and get you going. And then I'm going to leave. I said I was going to leave her there. But, you know, Galatians 3:24 talks about that we know that we have a better covenant. And Galatians 3:24 talks about us being under a tutor. Mm-hmm. And to be under a tutor, you have to be submitting. And I looked up the word submission. Okay, now, when you go to different translations, sometimes those words don't show up there, like the word submission doesn't. Now the word submit does, and other words show up there. But I looked it up, and in the Hebrew, it really, I thought I was really surprised. There was, let's see, I think I wrote it down. Maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. There was like three different words used that fit the word submission or to submit. And all of them were on a negative side. It was the type of submission where you are put under somebody. The thumb is on you. You are being squished down. It referred to an evil, you know, mm-hmm. putting you in a certain place. So then I went to the Greek, and it talks about submitting, and the word that's used the most, I found, is it's a Strong's number 5293, and it's hypotasso. And now I am probably butchering that Greek there, but hypotasso, and that's a two-part word, but it means to place or arrange under. Okay, that says a lot about submission. It means to place or arrange under. It's not being beat down. It's not being forced into something. It's an arrangement. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:27, to bring under influence. Romans 8:20, pass, to be subordinate. 1 Corinthians 14:32, to be brought under a state or influence. Romans 8:20, to submit oneself, render obedience, be submissive. And you can find that in Luke 2:51 and 10:17. You can see this word hypotasso. It really takes us to a place where we come under God's covering. We submit to him. He's made an arrangement. He's brought us there to influence us in the direction of how he wants his kingdom to go. You know, and what happens when we have a lack of submission? A lack of submission leads to problems. It leads to chaos. And I went to James chapter 4, and this is out of the Passion Translation. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read this because it talks about what happens when we have a lack of submission. What is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? You jealously want what others have, so you begin to see yourself as better than others. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight. And all the time you don't obtain what you want because you don't ask God for it. And if you ask, you won't receive it for yourself, asking with corrupt motive, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values place you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into your hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? Verse 6, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. So then, in verse 7, it says, so then, surrender, hypotasso, to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure, and stop doubting. Feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful, and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. Again, that's submission. Be willing to be made low, submission, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, I just see that we need to look at the word submission. When you had mentioned this, and then last night at the Bible study, we watched a video on submission. And it was incredible, and it was like the Lord was taking a string and tying a bow up on what he wanted to happen today. Mm-hmm. So let's hear your perspective on submission. You know, like we said, it comes in a lot of different formats, and it's a big word.
It does. It's a big subject. Well, you know, in just discussing with Pastor Justin about talking about this, we talked about, you know, our example is Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus himself had to submit. I think a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people that just think that he just came and did what he wanted, and that's not true. The word says that I only say what he tells me to say, and I only do what he shows me to do. And that's our example. And so that a lot of my notes is from that video that we watched last night. And I'm going to share bits and pieces because it'd be too long to do the whole thing. Jesus's power was based in he knew whose authority that he was submitted under. Mm-hmm. That's where that power came from. He was a submitted person. He wasn't walking in all of that just because, you know, he was God's son. I know that sounded like super random what I just said. He was brought low and he did things the same as us. Yes, he was God's son, but he was brought low and had to learn the same things
we
had to
learn. He was a man like we are.
He was a man like us. He had to learn the scripture. He had to learn the different things and the different principles. And so he had to submit to the Lord, and that's where that power came from.
Do you, I know this is going to mess up your notes here, but
go ahead.
Do you think that when Jesus was little, he maybe got a few swats on the behind?
I'm sure he did.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure he did.
He learned submission.
Because he had good parents.
Yeah.
Too. And good parents will teach you to obey.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know that's going to upset some people's theology, you know. He was just like us.
I was going to say,
He was tempted in every way.
Yes. And I'm sure that he, you know, he had to do all the steps we had to do. He had to learn to eat with a spoon. You know, he had to learn to go to the bathroom in the right way. All that kind of stuff. He didn't just fast track through all that stuff.
Yeah.
He had to learn how to read, you know. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and go to Matthew 8. 5 through 13, and that's the story about the centurion. I'll go ahead and just start reading it.
Yeah.
Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does this." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour.
Great story.
Yes, yes. The centurion's understanding of authority amplified the faith transaction. When I heard that statement, I was just like, whoa, he like no one else. I mean, being in the service, they understand following orders. And he recognized that in Jesus. And he said, just say the word and it'll happen. That faith that Jesus's words would make that happen amplified. He understood that authority and amplified that faith transaction.
Yeah, that word, just like a drill instructor would say, drop and give me 50.
Yes.
You drop and give him 50.
Yeah, you don't obey the drill instructor. Our understanding of authority as believers will amplify our faith and turn up the power of God in our life. Man, when I got a hold of that, we were learning about the authority of the believer. I mean, did that not just help you? That helped me so much that I didn't just have to put up with whatever was going on. I could take the word and go, this is contrary to the word. And so now I'm going to speak over this.
And I'm sure I'm the only one that sometimes it takes a few minutes and it dawns on me, oh, wait a second. I got authority over this. Right. I don't need to put up with it.
Right, right. The it is what it is attitude. Yeah. You don't have to be like that.
No. No.
I mean, very rarely do those words apply in our life. So Jesus marveled over his great faith. So David Winston in this video was talking about whenever he had learned to submit to his dad as his father, and how whenever he came on leadership at the church, how he had to adjust the way he would submit and relate to his father. And something his dad said that I really appreciated, which this is Bill Winston, his dad, was talking to the son, David Winston, and he would say, stay with the vision. And I appreciated that so much. And he said, you know, he had to have the Holy Spirit to explain to him, what does that mean? Stay with the vision. It's to stay under submission, stay submitted. And that his opinion wasn't the most important one in the room.
Ooh,
I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
One of the things that Brother David had discussed is he said, you know, growing up, you know, at home, he could express his opinions. But then whenever he got to the point of that point of leadership with dad in the church, sitting on boards, he recognized that his opinion wasn't always something that needed to be voiced.
Right.
And he had to keep, and I know I've done this a lot in these podcasts, you know, turn that back and get your eyes on that, the vision, on the mandate, on what the Lord has said. And two, on who he was submitting to. It used to be just daddy.
Yeah.
Then when he went on staff at the church, it became his pastor,
right,
and his boss. And some of the insights he had, submitting is not submitting to the person. You're submitting to the position. And I know that sometimes, a lot of times, because we're in the flesh, you know,
right.
We can get our eyes on flesh.
Yeah.
And recognizing that God places people in authority. I think I wrote that. I have that scripture reference somewhere in my stuff. It's Romans 13:1, I think. The Lord put his dad over him in that position. And so while he is a person, he has to respect and honor that position of pastor, of apostle, of boss, you know? Let me see. And it's not just about personalities. It's about a person. It's about a position someone holds. You reverence the position. And when I say reverence, I'm not talking about bowing down and, you reverent. Technically what you're doing is you're reverencing
honoring
the Lord. You're reverencing the Lord and you're honoring the Lord through reverencing and honoring that person.
Right.
It's about the position they hold. We reverence the position and not the person. Submission is not if you like them. And, you know, I think that every single one of us has had somebody in our life that we have had to recognize that, you know, that it's somebody that's a boss or whatever, mom, dad, boss, somebody in the church.
Yeah, you know, this isn't just about living a Christian life.
No.
This is a real world fact.
Yes.
No matter where you are,
yes,
at Walmart or the grocery store or whatever, you work for.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Every one of us for the rest of our life will submit to somebody.
That's right.
No one is above that.
Yeah.
No one. I mean, we're talking Pope, pastors, apostles, everybody has to submit to someone.
And I can remember when I was 13, 14, I can hardly wait till I grow up and I'm not going to have to be bossed by any mom or dad or somebody. You know, you never spoke that out, at least not in my household, but it was in your head.
Sure.
And then as you matured and got older, you found out, wow, I've got other bosses.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we'd always, I remember my kids told me one time, they're like, I can't wait till I have kids so I can spank them. And I'm just that is not something to look forward to.
when mom said, this is hurting me more than it is you, she was right.
Yeah.
You don't realize that till that time
you
comes.
You don't. And I remember when that reality hit me. I remember it just hurting your feelings, hurting your heart because you love them so much.
Yeah.
But you had to correct.
Yeah.
You had to for their good. Okay. Let me see. So submission, it's about submitting to the principles of God.
Right.
And one of the statements that Brother David said is insubordination to authority is mutiny towards God.
Whoa.
And that's a hard reality to get because, you know, sometimes you think they're wrong. You think they're wrong or they might be right, but they said it in a really rude way. And you think that you're justified.
But even if they were wrong, it's not our place.
You're right. You're right. And I remember getting that reality too. Who was I to think I could correct the pastor?
Right. You know?
And thankfully I never did it with my mouth. I did it in my brain so the Lord could get a hold of me and I didn't have to have any major correction from the pastor himself on that. But
okay. Did you catch that, Pastor Justin?
Yeah. Yeah. I laughed. I also was like, man, it's like, do I need to do a disclaimer that anywhere in here where it talks about an unworthy leader, we're not talking about Pastor Justin. We're just talking about generally because I think he's great.
Yeah. We are blessed here.
We really are. Okay. And if we are insubordinate, we will help the principle of the Antichrist. When I heard that statement, I was just like, oh my gosh, to think that something that I did could further something for the enemy.
Mm. Sends chills through you.
It does. It does. And it's, you know, what we do is whenever we recognize that, you know, we repent.
Yeah.
We repent and we get back in position.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I remember Brother Hagin years ago, that one example, how the Lord was talking to him about being willing and obedient. He's like, Lord, I've been willing and obedient. He said, no, you've been obedient, but you've not been willing. And he said immediately, he's like, I'm willing, God. I'm willing now. Like, it doesn't take years to get willing. I'm willing now. Let's, you know, I repent now. I take my forgiveness. Let's move on. I'm going to get into the right position.
Yeah.
Let me see. True submission isn't revealed until we have conflict. How about that one?
Wow. Wow. Not that we want conflict, but we can grow from it. And yes. And James talks about that, you know, patience.
Yes.
You know,
let it have its perfect work.
Let it have its perfect work. And how's it going to do that? Not in a patient situation. It's going to be in chaos.
Right. Right. It's easy to agree when you agree with them and they agree with you.
Yeah.
True submission is when you bend your will to somebody else. Yeah. I got like two sets of notes. One of the definitions I know you read your definition. Is it okay if I read mine? Because there's a couple.
Oh, yeah. Extras. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big word.
To yield.
Mm-hmm.
Yielding isn't being forced. Yielding is it's like, you know what I mean? It's like almost like a bow, like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
There's a lot of people that don't know what that word means. I've noticed that when I've been driving down a freeway and people are on the on-ramp
right.
And they have a yield sign in front of them. And I go, what do you not understand about that word?
Right, right. resign or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another. To acquiesce, I don't know if I'm saying that word right,
yep.
Authority of another. It's saying, you know better in this situation, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it like you said. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to bend the knee. And I appreciated that. You know, it's, and there are times where it's, you're crying. You're crying or you're angry. You know what I mean? Let's be real. There's times where in submission, it takes a few minutes to get your flesh.
Yeah.
Under. But you do it. You do it, and then you become willing and obedient if you're not immediately. You know what I mean? You get it right. You get it right because you want to please the Lord. That's what this is about. It's not about a man or a woman. It's about the Lord and our heart to serve him and who he is.
I can remember growing up, and we'd be on a trip someplace, and we'd be in the back seat, and there'd be four of us kids in the back seat, and we would get corrected from the front seat. Mm-hmm. And if we weren't willing and obedient right away, it was amazing how far my mom's arm and shoulder could reach back, you know, to give you a swat on the leg and say, I told you, young man, and you straightened up.
Yes. Yes. In our family, we have a little joke. I mean, it really happened, but there was one time the car got pulled over and a flip-flop came off.
Whoa.
And one of the children got a spanking. And it's sometimes, you know, you got to let them know you mean. I mean, you always need to be a person of your word, but you know what I mean? Sometimes you need to follow through with that word and say, hey, I told you.
Right.
You quit hitting your brother.
Yeah.
And then the spanking came. But I never had to pull over and do that again, just so you know. okay. Just because leadership or a leader is deficient doesn't make us exempt from walking in this principle of submission.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom principles don't change just because the conditions or the nuances of our situation are hard. We have to be submitted.
Yeah.
It doesn't negate. You know, I remember, I mean, we've all dealt with somebody that was a little difficult, you know, and you have to get that reality that no matter what they do, the word of God is my standard that I have to live by. And even if they're contrary to it, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with what the word says. I'm going to stay in love.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with obeying the word. And I'll be faultless to the best of my ability. That's probably the best way of putting that. You do the best you can. There was a scripture. Do you remember where that was at? It was talking about doing the right thing. Doing the right thing and what ends up happening.
No, not offhand, I don't.
Here it is. Okay. It's 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. And I believe this was in the CEV.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord wants you to obey all human authorities, especially the emperor who rules over everyone. You must also obey governors because they are sent by the emperor to punish criminals and to praise good citizens. God wants you to silence stupid, ignorant people by doing right.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that translation before.
I grabbed a hold of that last night. That's big, you know, because in these past several months, this past year, I'll call it, there has been a lot of issues about and people pointing fingers at especially at Christians. Well, you're supposed to obey those that govern over you. There's more to it than what you're reading there in the English.
Sure.
And you need to get in and to study those things. And I was preparing, working on a blog that I do, and I'm right there in 1 Peter, and I'm doing verse 13 this next week.
Hey.
And so when that dropped into my lap, I go, yes, I can grab a hold of that.
That's good. You know, I remember when COVID was hitting last year and everything, and they were starting to make everybody wear masks and stuff. I so appreciate how Pastor just led from that. Yeah. And he said, you know, if you got to go in somewhere, if you don't want to wear your mask, then don't go in there.
Right.
But if you got to go in there, don't you make a stink.
Right.
You either wear your mask or you don't go.
Right.
And I really appreciated that because, yeah, there's a righteous indignation with some of the stuff that's going on, but we're also on somebody's property.
That's right.
And we need to be a good example.
We don't know what fears they have.
Sure.
We don't know what physical ailments they may have that if someone walks in and unmasked could cause a problem in their household.
Sure, sure. And again, your opinion isn't always the most important in the room. And if it isn't that important to you, then you don't go patronize.
You're pointing at me.
Then you don't go patronize that business. You know what I mean? If it's that big a deal, but your witness is actually more important than your opinion about germ spread.
Amen.
I had to get that one.
and God's word is more important than our word.
Absolutely. It takes faith to follow God, but it takes true humility to submit to His delegated authority. And again, I think more than anything, I haven't really had a bunch of people in church that I've had a hard time with. Praise the Lord. He's been so good to me. But I've had a few job situations where somebody was a boss or whatever, and you recognize, you know, I need to obey this person. I need to work with this person. I need to honor them. And recognizing that if I'll get in faith with that or with the Lord over that situation, He'll help me work with that person in their hearts. He'll help turn their hearts.
Yeah.
And I know that you have, I mean, I know you were out at Tyson for years. People have pulled you aside and said, there's something about you, Bob. You know, what's different about you? Why are you so happy? You know, everything's going bad up here at work.
That's mostly what they did not say.
But you know what I'm saying? I know you've got a real good outlook and attitude that says something to people. You know, why aren't you miserable? This has been one of the hardest days that I've had at this job. Why aren't you miserable, Bob? Yeah. And you're like, well, guys, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, that's where my hope is. And as you're doing the right thing and as you're having a good attitude, people saw that witness.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one night you mentioned that I worked third shift and I witnessed a young man verbally abuse a coworker who was doing something else. And I mean, he just went off on this young lady. Wow. And it was none of my business. When it comes right down to it, it was none of my business. I should have just stepped back into my lab and left it alone. But I had that scratching on the inside. And I went outside and I said, you had no right to talk to that young lady the way you did. And he looked at me and he was telling me why he did it. And I said, but if that was you, would you have liked to been talked to that way? And he goes, no, but you don't understand. And I says, I do understand. That's why I'm telling you this. Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to treat them the way you want to be treated. Even yes. if you're not treated that way, you still treat them the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
And he came back and he thanked me for that.
Good.
You know, so I'm glad I listened to that scratching on the inside. That's the Holy Spirit talking to us.
Well, and you know what? I mean, whether you recognize it at the time or not, that's fathering.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you were at the house and one of your kids did that, you'd do the same thing. You know, pastors talk to all of us, I think, about, you know, seeing yourself as a father, seeing yourself as a mother, and speaking into people's lives.
Right. Right.
You know, and praise the Lord for that. I mean, because some people, I mean, your parents have gone on to be with the Lord. You don't have your actual parents here with you. So to have people in your life that would do yeah. that for you,
yeah.
you know, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
And even if your parents are still here, you know what I mean? We can always use more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, we're supposed to grow up.
Yes. let me see. One of the things, when you step out of order and out from under submission, things that should be easy because of the anointing become very complex and very hard. That's something I've personally, you know, experienced. You know, you have something going on in your life that you're asking yourself, is this season over? Am I supposed to be done with this? You know, and if you're mature, yeah. sometimes it takes a little time to get to that. We need to pray and go, Lord, is this the end of this? Or do I have an issue with my heart? You know, I remember years ago I used to clean. And I got to the point where I didn't want to clean anymore, but it wasn't time to stop.
Right.
And I had to get happy again. I had to recognize, nope, this is still my place. And I regrouped, and that's okay. That's okay to do that. I mean, it wasn't like a failure. You know what I mean? We regroup and we recognize, and I think also, you know, sometimes people will say, like if you start having a hard time either at a job or at church, you know, well, that season's over. Well, generally the Lord doesn't take you from season to season with fighting.
Right.
And not getting along.
Right.
Generally. I'm not going to say it's never going to happen because you can do everything to the best of your ability and still have a conflict with somebody.
Right.
And but I would say that, you know, if that starts coming up in your heart, you know, of like, is this season over? You know, we all need to check our hearts.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, is my heart in alignment with the vision and leadership? I think we all should ask ourselves that regularly.
Right.
You know, we all have our stuff we like to do at church, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I got my stuff I like to do. But what if pastor asked me to, I don't know, be downstairs with the kids this Sunday instead of getting to be up there with the guest speaker?
Right.
What's my answer? You know, it needs to be yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's best how I could serve the ministry.
Yeah.
And the Lord. The Lord's the number one.
You know, we've talked about submission and maturing.
Yes.
And as we mature, we learn more about submission, more things that we have to submit to. And I envision maturing just like a tree. You watch a tree grow up, and it does not grow up just flat, even, straight. Every branch mm-hmm. is the same length. It doesn't. As it matures, one side, it leans to one side. It gets a little heavier branch on this side, a little shorter branch over there, but there may be fruit on that one, and it doesn't grow straight up. And as we mature, as we grow, we are the same way, and we have to submit. You may have thought you were submitting, but you find a little area over here like, wow, I still got something to do here.
Yes.
And some of it may even cause you to go back, and you may have to repent for some things. And it could be in your past.
Sure.
And in which case you may not have anyone to go to, But you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, you pointed that out. That's where I was out of line. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. I repent of that. Thank you for showing it to me. And lead me in the road that I should go from here on.
You know, I don't know if it applies or not. It just came to mind. Pastor was talking about humility here, I mean, not too long ago. And one of the things he said that helps with humility is do things you see as beneath you on a regular basis.
Get low.
To help. And it's the funniest thing. My hubby and I have been married over 25 years, and I have never liked messing with trash. I've just, you know, got three boys and my hubby. So my thought was like, all these guys, they can take care of it. Well, now, you know, it's just hubby and I. And I regularly make myself take that trash out now. And it's not such a big deal anymore. It's funny how you get past it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just those things, you know, and I try to do that stuff quicker now.
You know, I've got to say this. It's just not hubby and spouse doing it.
Sure.
It's grandma and grandpa doing it. Truth. And grandma can take a trash out. Congratulations on
that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Yes, I had a grandbaby almost, it's 2 weeks ago today. Praise the Lord, she's 2 weeks old today.
Wow.
Lily Mae. yes, boy, I could really go off on talking about that right now, but.
and that's a wrap.
And let's come on back. Submission doesn't just mean I show up on time and do my job.
Mm.
Submission is a heart thing.
I mean, it's got an attitude.
Yes, it does. And I think we all at times in life have maybe struggled with this of, well, I did it. You can show up and your heart is far from submitting. I was just like, you know, I think I've actually caught myself doing that a little bit over the last couple of years of, you know, you get tired and you just get the job done. And, you know,
sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
You know,
but then I think there's also times where you just need to get happy.
Yeah.
Just get happy and be like, Lord, I thank you that I get to help here.
Right.
You know, I thank you that I get to serve here because it's a blessing. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have a church like this.
Yeah.
Or don't get to work in a place like I get to work at, you know? And I am thankful. You know, I got to remind myself how thankful I am and how good the Lord's been to me. I could be in a really bad place right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not. Praise the
Lord. Praise God.
Let me see. So the anointing is the power of God that comes on human flesh that enables us to do what only God could do. Well, when we get out of order, we can miss out on that anointing.
Right.
And the anointing won't flow to you or through you. He had done a really neat object lesson, and it was like he took like a Jenga blocks and he pulled out like the bottom Jenga block and then he poured oil over it, and he had that Jenga block over here and it wasn't getting oil on that. And the whole point of it is that anointing comes from the head down, which, praise the Lord, we need to be reminded of that.
Amen.
The anointing doesn't
Amen.
Come from the bottom up. It comes from the head down through the God-appointed leaders and the people he's linked us with. And but that block, all he had to do was put it back in its spot for it to get that anointing. That, and my point of bringing that up is it's that quick of a decision to get our hearts right and get back into alignment.
Right.
And that's one of the things I wanted to encourage. You know, all of us struggle every once in a while with, I don't like them, or I don't like that way they spoke to me, or I'm tired, I don't want to go to church, or whatever, you know. And it's that quick of a decision to get back into position when you have that wrong thought. You know, it doesn't have to be this long drawn out. We don't have to go fast for a week. Fasting for a week's great. You know what I mean? Going to get some time with the Lord's great. But we can get our heart back into position that quick.
That quick.
That
yes.
quick.
Yes.
You should say some stuff now.
this is excellent. I'm glad you brought this up. And I mean, you know, and like I said, submission is a big word. It covers a lot of area. I'm trying to think. Ephesians talks about you can bring submission into your marriage. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be said there. There's a lot of women that when they hear that that scripture, that line where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, they just curl up. Sure. But you have to have understanding to this kind of thing. And husbands, you have to have a lot more understanding to these kind of things. So, but that's a whole nother subject. We're not talking on marriage and that type of submission is the same kind of submission, but it's set up in a different category. It's a different part of that tree that we learn and mature in. I think we're just about covered this today. Do you got any last comments that you want to make?
Real quick. Where's that at? One of the things that I really appreciated about Pastor David's teaching was he talked about whenever you don't want to stay under submission, you end up removing yourself from the position that you're over. You know, like somebody that's trying to get more power, more position. When Satan was right before he fell from heaven, he was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'll have this. And he ended up being thrown out of heaven, and the very position that he had was taken from him. And if you look in the word, you see that over and over again. The parable of the man that had the vineyard sent his servants to go get the profit or whatever went to go get the profits, and they kept the people that were taking care of the fields. Is it a sharecropper? Is that what they're called? The people that were taking care of the fields, they kept beating up and being mean to them. And then he finally sent his beloved son, and they saw him and they killed him. And they said, we'll take his inheritance. And what ended up happening to them is the very thing that they were trying to get was taken from them, plus what they were over.
Right.
And they were also killed.
Yeah.
And it's the way in the kingdom, the way to get more is actually by going lower.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Pastor doing that one teaching on what's the reward of good work? It's more work.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? The kingdom is all about serving.
Yeah.
And you want that position, you serve and you do what the Lord tells you to do. And then if that's his plan for you, you'll get that position. But if you're trying to step on people and go about it the wrong way, you're not going to get it. And you need to know that.
That's right. You know, one of the interesting things about that parable that I find interesting is that they said that they would get his inheritance.
Yes.
And when I read that, I go, what makes you think you are going to get the inheritance? You are not of the family.
No.
You have self-deceived yourself.
Yes.
To receiving something that you don't have a right to.
Right.
And regretfully, I see a lot of that going on in today's society, this so-called woke movement. They have asserted themselves into a place that they have no right to be in.
Yes.
And they're dictating terms, just like those people tried to dictate terms to the vineyard owner's servants and son, and to the servant owner or to the vineyard owner. Well, I think this has been really good, Christina.
Yes.
I appreciate it. You know, I want to toss in one last scripture here. And that is from Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. To me, that is the ultimate submission scripture.
Yes.
We need to incorporate so much of God into our lives that it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And one of the things that we know is Jesus only did what his Father told him to.
Yes.
So we should be doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here today with me. We're going to get ready and start closing things up here. And I hope that you have enjoyed today's program. Let us hear from you. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us, call us at 870 741-9099. Or you can, let's see, what's I punched email. The wrong button. You can email us at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. And you can write us at 700 Cottonwood Road, Harrison, Arkansas. And we would love to hear from you. Stay tuned for our podcast. Check out our all the places that we have at Podbean and Spotify and whatnot. We're on all the major networks. And we hope that you will be back with us next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. This has been the Grace for This City podcast. Hey, if we could stand with you in prayer, it would be our honor. Send us an email with your prayer requests at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or call us 870-741-9099. We'd love to celebrate with you. Let us know what the Lord is doing in your life. Hey, if you'd like to partner with us to keep the podcast out there going into all the nations, you can do so. You can mail in any donation, tax deductible donation. You can mail it to P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, or text to give 84321. Follow the prompts, or gracecitychurch.tv/give. Thank you, friends. We're so honored to have you join us on the podcast. Hey, until next time, be blessed.